It says, before the coming of Christ, there was no bread in the world. Remember, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. He's talking about something we consume that will bring life to you. He says, there was none. In paradise, there were many trees to feed the animals. Humans fed themselves like animals. He's speaking about the knowledge of the tree of life was there, and the knowledge of right and wrong or good and evil, these trees in Genesis. It's not about trees. It wasn't a physical place. It's a revelation.
Allegorical.
Of an allegorical picture of a greater truth. And Philip is now expounding on this, and he's telling us that we fed off the wrong tree. We were eating like animals. That means we ate off the five senses and our own place of reasoning in our minds without knowing God.
So prior to that, we knew God, but we fell to a place where we started to reason everything.
Reason everything. And we shut off, that's what the veil is, we shut off from the fact that we are one with God. And so the original sin is missing the mark, according to rabbinic truth, and that means that we believed in separation. We separated ourselves within our minds from God.
Yeah.
And that was sin. And then the sin, the fruit of it, is what we see in the world today.
So when you feel that you're separated, you're trying to work everything out yourself.
Yes.
You're just trying to make everything happen.
How can you separate yourself
from the
Creator? You can't. God has always been with me, right?
We think we're separate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we try to get back to Him by being good, mm-hmm. which won't work.
No.
It just puffs you up, but it doesn't mean
anything.
Or wait
till you die.
Or you wait till you die.
But that's not what life is.
That's not where heaven is either.
No.
Again, these are all deceptions that have been taught to us to keep us in a place of separation. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault. Called blind leading the blind. Yeah. You got to pursue what does something mean. So it says, there was no wheat when Christ, the fulfilled human, came. He brought bread from heaven so that humans would know a human food. So the word human wasn't bad. He was the complete one, the one that was all-knowing and pure love. He knew the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was walking in complete light, in the truth. And he's speaking about this food that we're to partake of, which is found in the tree of life. Again, these are allegorical pictures of a greater truth. He says, they can only imagine, like dogs, the crumbs that may fall from the table. People can only imagine what is really there. And what is that whole thing of the crumbs of the table? Jesus tells the parable about the prodigal son. And within me growing up as a Christian, I was told that that was backslidden Christians, but it's not at all. Mm-hmm. That's all of humanity. Because if you look, he squandered his inheritance. What's his inheritance? It's eternal life. It's the thing in the middle of the garden that's protected. It's Zoe life, incorruptible, indestructible, uncreated, divine life, Zoe, within us. This is what he squandered until it says he came to himself, realized he could eat what the pigs eat. Oh, what's that? Animals' food, beast nature,
the nature.
Two-part being.
Uh-huh.
That's what that's talking about. Mm-hmm. But then he goes home. He says, even the servants have better. These are the people serving God, mm-hmm. but yet do not know God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the Father comes, and he returns into that intimate place with the Father. Notice they embrace. Mm-hmm. That's called union again,
right,
where that veil's removed.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the mantle on him. That's the Father's authority, the Father's power.
Mm-hmm.
All that the Father is, he places it on him and puts a ring on his finger, and the ring is what the king would seal something with.
Well, that would be like his commitment to us.
And the beloved belongs to the mystery of the union. Hear that? There's this union Paul compared to a husband and wife when they have intimacy or intercourse, right? He compares it to this place. And he says there's this great mystery between Christ and his church. And he's just
Who's the church?
Who's the church? That's right. It's those
human race.
The human race. Yeah. Those that,
when you use that word, I think in people's minds that separation comes. Yeah. I don't go to a church. I don't belong.
Right.
Well, that's not what that's.
But you
meaning.
Can't escape this if you're breathing.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
In the Western world, you use that word.
Yeah.
There's a separation in a lot of minds of people.
Right.
Right. Well, if I don't belong to one, but right. God came for all.
God. What he was given to see. He cut the flesh of his foreskin, thus showing us that we must overcome the limits of the flesh. And that's not the physical body, it's carnality, the carnal mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the world to become free. That's what it's really about.
Overcome the limits.
Overcome
that's
the limits,
good. I
man.
Like that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because those are limits. We put the limits in. By our belief system is a prison. It's
so we
walled.
We make it so we can't cross over those.
That's right. Even judgment is just a conclusion we've made that we can't get beyond.
Yeah.
Well, I know, brother. No, that's the conclusion you've made and you've stopped growing.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of judgment. Judge not, he said. Why? Because you imprison yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, ignorance, which is being in the darkness and not seeing, basically. No understanding.
Yeah.
Animal being the lowest level, the five senses. You just live out of the five senses. You don't know any different. You don't even know there's another world around you, a spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
Science is trying to find it.
Yeah.
They're finding out about quantum physics. They're finding out about...
And I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
It's so
with science good. Being married with mysticism and mystical stuff,
yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like I found my world.
Yeah. So this darkness is the cause of all evil and serves death. You want to know why the cemeteries are full? This is why.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for some people to choose not.
Yeah.
Why don't we go the other direction? Let's choose life.
Can anybody believe that's possible?
That's right.
That's where it's got to start.
Is there anybody
right?
out there? Right.
Yeah.
So nothing has been or ever will be born from ignorance. Those who live in vigilance will be happy when the truth is revealed. The truth will be revealed if we pursue it with a vigilance, with we don't want to give up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give up. I want to press in. I don't want to get caught up in the controversies of the day. I want to pursue this truth, absolute truth,
mm-hmm.
what is,
yeah,
so that I can become a partaker of that, right? Mm-hmm. And help others. So while hidden truth is like ignorance, it keeps to itself when it's hidden. But when it's revealed, it is recognized and glorified. For it is more powerful than ignorance and error. It brings freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now that right there is a really good glass of wine.
Yeah.
Truth brings freedom.
Right.
It awakens you, and man, talk about a high. Talk about a high. I have been so intoxicated.
When you're in... When inside you, your well-being feels so connected and loved and, you know, all the stuff that concerns you just kind of falls away.
Yeah.
Like, who wouldn't want that?
I know.
That unspeakable peace that can reside there at all times.
Yeah.
Or it's there for you to tap into.
It's there.
We do go in and out,
we
right?
We do.
Because of life.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So the Logos said... Yeshua, Jesus, said, if you know the truth will make you free. Ignorance is slavery. Knowledge, gnosis, is freedom. There is this thing, gnosis, this experience of truth. It's a person.
Yeah.
Right? That brings this freedom. When we recognize the truth, we taste its fruit in ourselves. That's what we just talked about. When we unite with truth, it shares its full pleroma with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the pleroma? It's We went from a state of fullness to one of deficiency.
Yeah.
That's to say, for man, from a state of self-knowledge to one of ignorance, from conscious of my divine origin to a nature to unconsciousness.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Doing it over and over and over again.
Or falling from that place of being aware.
Of being aware.
Because we were aware.
Yes.
At one time, and we fell asleep. We fell into that, I would call it the subconscious.
The subconscious. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which you're going to expound on.
Which is asleep.
Yes. Yeah. So the mysteries of truth are manifested to us in the form of archetypes or images. That means picture form. It's hidden in it.
Right.
If you see the literal, just the literal, it won't make sense to you, or you'll just live by it. That's why you'll look outside, see trees, grass, birds flying through the air. You'll see all the natural things. You look in the sky. You see the planets.
You become accustomed to it.
And you become accustomed to it. You don't know that the Creator's speaking to you.
Right.
It's a book.
Yeah.
Stop and smell the roses. Stop and look and see, because there's something so powerful there.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of you.
Right.
So the bridal chamber within the Bible talks about the bride. The bridal chamber is where union is realized. It's where Esther went into the king's chamber,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And was married to the king.
Mm-hmm.
It's where when you're married, the when you go into the honeymoon suite, that's the bridal chamber, where the marriage is consummated and two become one, it says.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When Paul said that, he was talking about the Creator in you.
Yeah.
He's bringing you back to truth, is what he's trying to do here. He's trying to tell you something.
But giving it an earthly meaning, the heavenly.
Yes.
With an earthly meaning so we can understand it.
It's like Jesus told earthly stories with heavenly meanings.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yes. So the bridal chamber where union is realized is hidden from us. It is the Holy of Holies. It's this, what we call the spirit world. It's not Casper the Friendly Ghost,
mm-hmm.
right? The veil conceals what we cannot see, the way in which God informs creation behind the veil. The veil is over everybody, but within the veil, behind the veil, where he brings you into the bridal chamber, is where he reveals everything to you.
And that's looking within.
It's all within. It was always a plan, right?
Yeah.
When the veil's torn and the inner is made manifest, we will abandon our house of desolation and it'll be destroyed. The darkness will leave. The fear will leave. You'll know who you are and you'll come into this place of ecstasy, of amazing bliss. You hear people having death experience and they talk about the bliss. Yeah. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah. You never had to be afraid, they say.
No.
It's like, how many days did I spend worrying about that in life?
Oh, man. Yeah. In 100 years, if I drove a Volkswagen or a Lamborghini, I don't think I'm going to really care about that, right?
Yeah.
There's something far greater.
Yeah.
So divinity and its fullness will not desert these places so as to dwell only in the Holy of Holies. God's not just there. He's omnipresent everywhere. He's a multidimensional God. It will not want to merge immediately in the unmixed light, the fullness that knows no lack. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
It will go under the arms and wings of the cross. The ark will be our refuge when the waters come. You see, that's where the whole thing begins to unpack. Because we've died, we've been circumcised, like Abraham's talking about, and we've found something in the Holy of Holies. Through the death and resurrection, we begin to experience, it's our death and resurrection, we begin to experience this whole
thing.
That's
been the example.
That's the example. Follow me, I'm the way. Right.
Yeah. Really haven't been very thankful for the future, for the past, the present.
Mm-hmm.
Like that attitude, keeping mm-hmm. that attitude. And I just started thinking about that kind of stuff and what was going on in my mind. So there was things happening in my life that was starting to kind of take me down, things with my job, just feeling pretty discouraged in a lot of areas. And for me, my physical body is a great sign of usually what's going on in my mind. That's my experience.
Right.
So when I started to really check into that stuff, I saw what I was thinking in my subconscious mind. And that could possibly be the reflection of why my migraines are starting to return.
Right.
Pressure, the way I'm thinking, like your mind is so powerful,
it is.
Right? Anyways, so I thought, okay, I'm going to start today. You're right. I'm going to just start being thankful for everything and, you know, I'm grateful for family, the weather, the trees, like just anything I could be thankful for and really connected it to my heart. So I'm out walking the dog that morning and just looking at everything, being just grateful for life, happy
right.
to be alive, you know, just shifting my whole mindset. So anyways, I'm walking around the
high
schools.
Which is really important, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
shifting the mind.
The scripture says, as a man thinks, so he is.
Yeah.
Out of the heart flow the issues of life, or your life that you're experiencing is coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can believe that as the truth and keep reciprocating it.
Yeah.
Or what the word in English that the church uses is repentance, but it's really metanoia, mm-hmm. which change your mind.
Yeah.
From the mind of your memories of who you think you are to the mind of the spirit or the truth.
The truth of what really is.
Of what really is. Mm-hmm. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow hasn't happened. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
And then you, by changing your mind,
yeah.
all of a sudden, what starts
Make
to happen?
The choice to change it.
You have to choose.
And let me tell you, it's work.
It is work because
it's not just, I just changed my mind.
No.
It's a daily thing, and you start to get good at it. That's what I'm finding. Each time another challenge comes along, my mind connects into that zone way quicker now because I've been working on it.
That's good.
Right?
That's good.
That's my practical side of things. So anyways, I'm walking uh-huh. the dog in this thankful place, felt just so good. Like I started to feel excitement again. And I'm walking around the schools and this car pulls over to the side of the road.
Okay, first, just before you talk about that, you were beginning to feel within a joy, a peace, and happy emotions were starting to rise inside
because
you, right?
Because of how I was thinking and being grateful.
And being grateful. So there's three things that are really important. Thankfulness.
Praise. And love.
And love.
Yes.
These help elevate you out of the memories that want to control who that you think you are.
Yeah.
And project who you are into the future. But
yeah.
if you break those through these three things, because these are closer to the truth. If you were, what Jesus said, he was the fullness, or Philip said, he was the fullness, right? Mm-hmm. And that there is no lack. So if you had no lack, you could do anything, go anywhere, get anything, would you be happy?
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so lack is a problem. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And so you started to shift these things.
Mm-hmm.
You were thankful.
And I also
you were
wanted
praising.
To say, yeah, you reap what you sow.
And you reap
so
what you
I
sow.
So I also believe that as you're thinking, that world, that cycle you're thinking in draws stuff to you.
Yes. I
100% believe that, right?
It does.
So it's true. If you're a depressed person and you're moping and you're in that state, you'll start to draw people around you like that.
Yeah, they will confirm that's a truth to you.
Yes. I mean, it's just like this vortex just automatically. It's like it's a serendipity in that way.
It is.
It will come to you.
Yeah.
So by shifting this, anyways.
You were shifting it.
I was shifting it.
And by
the
changing of your mind,
yeah.
metanoia,
mm-hmm.
you began to experience a joy inside and a peace,
mm-hmm.
right? That weren't there. It's supernatural.
And a oneness of knowing I'm not alone.
That's the love.
I'm connected.
You're connected.
To everybody,
and
to God,
to God,
everything.
All things.
Yep.
And in that moment, that was a supernatural thing that started to, like as if water was leaking into your house.
Yeah.
That was leaking in from the divine realm, the truth, and you were beginning to literally experience it.
Experience a whole new energy.
A whole new energy.
Right? Because we talk about living in the lower beast nature, the New Agers would call it their lower three centers, however you want to call it.
Whatever language you got.
Those survival places, and that's what we move into when life becomes life heavy on us, right?
So then
pulls over to the side of the road, and I thought, oh, they're just letting somebody out for school. And this little girl jumps out of the far side of the car. I've got my headset on. I'm listening to my music. She comes running up to me with a long stem red rose. And she said, had this big smile. And she says, hi. She says, this is for you. You have yourself a fabulous day. And I was like, what is happening? I dropped my headset and I'm like, thank you. I didn't even know what to say. And she just had the sweetest smile, runs back to the car, jumps in. And I look over at the car and the guy in the passenger seat smiles and waves and drives off. And so now here I am carrying this long stem rose, walking my dog.
Yeah.
Just felt the tears coming. I'm like, wow, what did I do? Like, honestly, changed my thinking.
Changed your thinking.
And all of a sudden, a whole thing just started to line up for me. Yeah. I did nothing. What are the chances, you know? And so there's a little card on the top of the flower. It says, today you have received a random act of kindness. Pay it forward at some point when you can. And it was a little in memory of somebody that had passed away, a young girl.
Yeah.
So that was really cool that they did that. Maybe they did a bunch of them that day, but I happened to be in the line of fire.
Whoa. And when did that ever happen to you before?
Oh, like, I know. Nobody
Never.
Can. I can't explain it away. It's just what it was.
So would it be fair to call that a serendipity?
Oh, yeah.
Or a synchronicity?
Because I'm starting to change.
Yes.
And things are drawing to me.
And so the heavenly
that was
realm.
Like, hey, I love you. Like, here
the
you go.
Heavenly realm is speaking to you.
Yeah.
Now, you're in the right track.
Yep.
It's like people seeing 1111 all the time.
Yes.
Something is speaking to you. Keep going. Keep going right here.
Absolutely. Yep. So anyways, what was I going to say? When I get in touch there, I start to wake up to my frustrations, right? Lacked separation, but they became very aware to me and apparent. So this was what I was working on shifting, all those things. So by choosing that heartfelt thankfulness, that was my first experience. Things really did start to shift when I deliberately started to shift my thinking.
Hmm.
But I did.
You did the work.
I had to take the step, right?
Yeah.
So that was my first experience. And then at work, I work in a long-term care setting, and I was just so excited about this flower thing. It blew me away. So I was telling a family member in visiting her father about what had happened to me, and she was like, wow, that's really cool. So she comes into work the next day and she says, Susan, I was thinking about the story that you told me, and she says, I just wanted to tell you again, this isn't to puff myself up, but it's just to line up with what's going on. And she says, I just want you to know that your entire life is an act of kindness because of what you do. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you. It's like, you know, because I look after her dad, and that was her gratefulness coming back to me. So that was the second thing. And again, I'm taking note. Wow, thank you. You know, I've had some rough weekends at work with just new staffing issues and stuff, and they've been pretty stressful. So usually when my weekend comes up to work, I get in this, start to kind of sink down again. And then I'm making these choices to be grateful. No matter what, I'll get through it. I start getting texts from a regular coworker. It's her weekend off. And she's going, hey, just want you to know, I picked up Friday. I'm working with you. I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome. What about Saturday and Sunday? You know?
Yeah.
And I was just joking. And she goes, well, I picked up Sunday for you too. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like,
wow.
Well, thank you. And this is her weekend off.
Wow.
It's a beautiful hot weekend, she says. And then she says, because I'm working with you, that's why I pick up the shifts. And again, like, I'm like, wow, like, thank you. Mm. You know, it was just that. So that was another thing. Stuff like our car. Yeah. Going in like these, I know that these might seem like little things to some people, but because I was on this roll, you know, our car's going in to get the tires changed, summer tires on. We knew we needed brakes. Just going to have the guy check them. He calls me, says, yeah, your brakes are metal on metal. You do need new ones. I'm like, okay, ready to book an appointment down the road. He goes, well, actually, he says, I'll just do them right now for you. I'm like, what? Yeah, I can get the parts right away. So I'm just going to do your brakes today. I'm like, well, that's awesome, yeah. Right? Now we didn't have to pay another service charge and go back a second time. So I was like, well, there's another one.
Yeah.
John goes for an echocardiogram.
Yeah.
His heart comes back working 10% better
than it was.
It's like, wow, there's another sign to us, right?
Yeah.
Things are turning and shifting and the good is
starting. We're pressing to life.
Yes. what else was there? There was a bunch of other little things that have been happening, but I'm just like, without going into a bunch of boring details for people listening, but it's been pretty extravagant for me personally, because those are the things, and I guess in your life, when you start to do this, you'll start to look for those little things that mean something to you.
Right? Yes.
These just mean big things to me, but it works. That's the exciting thing, putting the science with the mystical and going, okay, I just don't want to sit and talk about this stuff to people.
It's got
to
be practical.
I need to be experiencing this, or like hit the button and shut me off, because I'm no different than anybody else, right?
Right.
If I can make a difference and share some truth that will help somebody make that shift, because I believe that our attitude is like the rudder on a ship, right? It can direct the route that we take. And it takes deliberate practice, and the more we practice it, the better we become. I feel like life will always give us a fresh slate or a canvas each morning to paint our future on. So what do we want that to look like?
Yeah.
Which in my case has started to shift it with praise, thankfulness, and love, right?
Yeah.
And things will start to come back to you. So then you start to live in a positive state of being, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting. And that's right.
And
when your heart becomes aligned with your thoughts,
yes,
things will start to come to you, right? Because
yes,
your heart can feel one way, but your mouth and your thoughts can be speaking a whole other way. So when you're divided within yourself,
right,
you're like two people.
Yes.
Right? So what's ever going to line up and happen? You know, you want one thing, but you're getting another.
Exactly.
So you need,
and you wonder why it's not happening.
You need to feel it with your heart. It's got to be with the heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it all has to flow from.
That's the union that God, Jesus, Yeshua was talking about.
Yeah.
Was between the heart and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a marriage. Mm-hmm. I love the way the experiences started to happen, serendipity.
Yeah.
And then once you have some of those, you start to look for them.
Exactly.
And they'll come.
Because you're aware. You're like, you don't let anything go by you now.
It's no.
Like, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you.
It could be small.
Wow.
It's okay.
Because it's speaking to my heart.
Yeah.
Going through the days. And I tell you, that little girl with the flower.
Oh man.
That has carried me.
Wow.
For days.
That just, is a,
I just keep amazing. Thinking back to that. And I see her smile, and I feel the moment of when it happened to me. It was like, you know, the light shone down from heaven right upon me on the sidewalk.
God the Father came and handed you a rose from this little girl.
Like. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It is beautiful, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing. That's exciting. Yeah. So, as long as this is hidden, Philip says, unhappiness prevails.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on.
Sure.
On and on and on, perpetuating it.
Yeah.
It always poisons the seeds, the sperma, that's called in Scripture, which is the living word, that light that comes into our hearts, and the evil is at work, the darkness in us. But when it's manifested, the clear light will envelop all, and everyone who finds himself in it will feel the presence or the anointing. Slaves and prisoners will be set free. That's why he's come. If a plant has not been planted by my Father, who is in heaven, it will be uprooted. And now it's talking about the things that are planted within you.
Yeah.
He needs to uproot these things. Mm-hmm. They're lies. They're keeping us imprisoned. Those who were separated will reunite and become fertilized with that living word, like the flower being handed to you. Mm-hmm. All those who practice the sacred embrace will kindle the light. They will not beget as people do in ordinary marriages, which take place in the darkness. Mm-hmm. They're using that comparison again. The fire that burns by night flares up, then it's gone. But the mystery of that embrace is never extinguished. Mm-hmm. You see, there was a fire there that when you got that flower, and it won't be extinguished, it'll continue to begin to flare up and rage because it's not man-made. Yes. It's divine.
But I have to keep looking.
But you have to keep your eyes fixed on it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It happens in that day, that light of day, which knows no sunset.
Yeah.
It doesn't end. Mm-hmm. If someone experiences trust and consciousness in the heart of the embrace, they become a child of light.